Hello, friends, and welcome back to the EC Daily Devotional Podcast. I'm Pastor Aaron Case, and I'm looking forward to our time together as we look at 1 Kings chapters 18 through 20. And I do want to say before we get going that obviously we try to do a pretty good job of covering a lot of the highs in these chapters, but I would encourage you, obviously, to dig deeper in your personal readings, to just dig up some of those gems that Scripture has for us, and to not take this as an end-all, be-all, but hopefully a good resource to whet your appetite to continually dig deeper into the Word of God. And so in chapter 18, we see that Elijah is called by the Lord to confront Ahab the evil king. Him and Jezebel were just basically trash pagan human beings who took what the Lord had given and used it for evil. And so at this time, it's not a surprise that there had been a famine in the land. And so God promises rain, and Obadiah was called to King Ahab. He was a righteous man, and we're told that he feared the Lord. And when Jezebel went to kill all the Lord's prophets, he had hid them by 50s in a cave and fed them. So Obadiah was the real deal. He was a good dude. And the king, really, he still had word with the king, so he must have been either thought of well or been undercover. So Ahab sends Obadiah out, and they both split up, because their goal was to find a place for the animals to graze, just because they wanted to save some of them, because obviously everything was dying because the famine was so bad in the land. And as he was on his way, Obadiah met Elijah. And he falls on his face, he pays homage, and he says, "Is it you, Elijah?" And he said, "Yes, yes. And by the way, you need to tell Ahab that I'm here." And Obadiah said, "No, are you crazy? Ahab is looking everywhere to kill you. And if I say you're here and the Spirit of God moves you somewhere else and he doesn't find you here, I'll be dead." Right? That's that's how strong the Spirit was with Elijah. God would move him and take him from place to place. And Obadiah was no dummy. He was like, "Listen, I'm not saying that." And Elijah said, "Listen, I won't go off. Tell him that I'm here." And so the two meet up. And this is where it gets a little spicy. Ahab sees Elijah and he says, "Oh, there you are, the troubler of Israel. You know, basically, what are you up to?" You know, and it's kind of ironic that even in this situation, in all situations, Christians are generally understood as the troublers. If we say anything, you know, "Oh my goodness, how dare you?" Or if we just exist, you know, we're the ones who are trouble because we point to a standard of God's word. But yeah, this is Ahab's address to Elijah. Elijah says, "You, Ahab, have forsaken God, so let's settle this. You go get the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah, who all eat at Jezebel's table, and meet me at Mount Carmel." Right? It's a showdown, right? Everyone arrives, and Elijah says, "Okay, this is what we're going to do. Build this altar, and I'll get all those people who are serving these idols, and you're going to be on one side, and I will be on the side of the one true God." And so Elijah tells the people what's going to happen, and they're silent. And so basically, it's Elijah. It appears to be Elijah against all these prophets. And so he says, "This is what we're going to do. We're going to put a bull on an altar, and whatever god or gods sends down fire and consumes the sacrifice, that is the true God, and everyone will see today who's truly above all others." And so, first off, it's the prophets of Baal and prophets of Asher. It's their turn. And so they're crying out to Baal. They're saying, "Oh, Baal, oh, Baal, answer us." And so then Elijah does, as many of us would have loved to do, and he starts to mock them. Not very seeker sensitive of him, is it? He said, maybe your gods are on a journey, or maybe he's sleeping, right? Or maybe he's on the toilet, right? So this is what's happening. This is what's going on. And obviously they keep going. They keep cutting themselves. And the day goes on and on and on, and nothing. And so what do we see? We see now it is Elijah's turn. He said, okay, now it's time for me. And so he takes 12 stones. He rebuilds the altar that had been torn down. He makes a trench around it. And 3 times they poured 4 jars of water on the sacrifice that was cut up. And the water was so much that it filled the trench that was around the altar. And Elijah calls out unto the Lord and says, and asks for fire. Then fire fell upon the burnt offering, and it burned up everything, even so much so that the stones themselves were burned up. And so the people of the Lord fell on their faces, saying, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And Elijah ordered the prophets of Baal to be seized and killed. And interestingly enough, they took it seriously what it meant to mock God. And it was kind of sad in a way, because it was a reminder to me of how often we tolerate false teaching. Of how often we say, oh, well, look at these other things that they've done. Look at all this that is fine. When in reality, God takes seriously His word. And we ought to not tolerate. I'm not saying we should put them to the sword, but they should be marked and avoided because they are a danger to the souls of men. And so Elijah says, okay, go and eat because rain is coming. And Ahab listened. And so Elijah goes up to Mount Carmel, and the Lord asks him what he sees. And he goes 7 times until he sees a small cloud. And that cloud began to grow into a big storm. Remember, the famine is really bad. And so Elijah warned Ahab to leave. And he did so. He listened, and Elijah ran before him, and he went all the way to Jezreel. Now, in chapter 19, Ahab gets back. He gets to Jezreel, and he tells Jezebel what Elijah had done to all the prophets. And you, as you can imagine, she wasn't happy. And she said, may the gods do to me and more also if he's not dead by this time tomorrow. And so Elijah runs for his life. He goes to the wilderness and he sits down under the tree and he's basically just hoping to die. An angel of the Lord comes to him, tells him to rise and eat, and he strengthens him and he does it again. And he says, listen, go to the mountain of God, the Mount Horeb, and the Lord's going to tell you what to do. And so that's exactly what happens. And the Lord says, what are you doing here? And he says, well, I'm the only one left. All the rest are dead. And now they're after me in my life. And God gives Elijah a plan. He says, go anoint Elisha to be your predecessor. And be encouraged, because obviously we know that the Lord is going to take care of him. The Lord is going to make a way. And God tells him that he had 7,000 faithful people who have not bowed the knee to Baal. My friend, how often do we feel left alone? How often do we feel as if it's only us or the few that we know? Number one, it is enough that God is for us, amen? It is enough that God is for us. But beyond that, we see many times that God says he has people in the city. You know, he was going before Paul. We see in this instance, 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal. God does not forsake his children. And all that we receive at his hand, we deem as good and worthy of going through for his name. So what do we have to fear? Right? So he left and he did what he was told. And in chapter 20, we see then Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, got together with 32 kings to make war with Israel. Ben-Hadad basically kept running his mouth and saying all kinds of things, bullying Israel, truly bullying Israel, and telling basically that He owns it, and they need to recognize, right? And so a prophet tells Ahab, the Lord's going to show you his power and deliver Israel. And of course, just as the Lord had promised, Syria fled before Israel, and Ben-Hadad ran for his life. And so the prophet comes back again and says, listen, strengthen up yourselves, because it's going to happen again. And Syria builds this big plan. They mock God, that he's just the God of the hills and not the valleys. And they line up for scripture, and they line up for battle. And it's just interesting how outmatched Israel is. The scripture says that they were like two goats standing before this great multitude of an army. In every way, they were outmatched. But one side had the Lord. And Israel was delivered once again in the very place where Syria said that they would have their victory. God used what they said against them. And so Ben-Hadad dressed himself in sackcloth and ashes, and he made this plan as to how he would save his own life. And he goes up to Ahab and makes a deal. He's like, I'll give you all these cities that were taken from you if you'll just spare my life. And Ahab agrees. And then we see towards the end of the chapter, the prophet of Israel gets himself wounded, bandages himself up, talks to Ahab in the way, and he tells him, after he reveals himself, because you have spared the one who God devoted for destruction, your life will be traded for his. And Ahab left downtrodden and downcast. My friends, there is no fear to have for the righteous. It was interesting that Elijah just seeing this epic, all-time amazing blessing by God happened before his eyes, and it wasn't but moments later, it seems, where he was doubting and scared for his life. Our God is a God of the hills and the valleys. In both places, he is victorious because Jesus Christ is Lord. Wherever you find yourself today, know that. Comfort yourself with that fact and go and live for his glory today. Until next time, God bless.